Welcome to the Wolfner Talking Book in Braille Library Podcast. Enhance your patron experience as you join us for the latest information, educational resources, and engaging interviews with the people working behind the scenes to ensure all Missourians may read. We are so glad you've joined us. Hi, I'm Chris Cowan, Tech 4 with the Wolfner Talking Book and Braille Library Recording Studio. Before we get into this episode, I just wanted to briefly announce a couple of changes that are taking place with the Wolfner podcast. Our first change is that moving forward, new episodes are going to be released every other week instead of every week. And this leads to our second change, in that the episodes are going to be longer. We here at Wolfner felt that these changes would allow us to put out a show that has more structure to it, creating a more pleasant listening experience for you, our patrons. You'll still get all of the updates, book picks, and interviews with various staff, volunteers, authors, and others involved with the library. But now, you'll get some of that in each episode. We hope that you enjoy the new structure and format of the podcast. And as always, feel free to reach out to us anytime through our contact information provided at the end of each episode. And without further ado, let's move on to Adult Services Librarian Jamie Livingston as she talks with Rebecca Buckley, Library Director for the Rolla Public Library.
So thank you for joining me today. I'm Jamie Livingston, and I'm talking with Rebecca, and she is the library director at the Rolla Public Library in Rolla, Missouri. So welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for agreeing to do this. We always talk about Wolfner as we are Wolfner people, so I think it'll be neat for our patrons to hear from a public librarian that's out in the real world, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Love Wolfner.
So do you want to give us a brief little background about you, like how long you've worked at your current library and what you like best about your library?
Sure. Well, I've been a librarian since 1997, but I've been here at Rolla as the public library director for the last 5 years. And I love being able to just help people. I think most people that get into library services, that's a big part in their heart, to be able to help folks and help them find the information and resources that they need in the community as well as in the state. And Wolfner is a really great resource that we really try to let people know about, because it's very helpful. And the people that end up using it love it so much. But yeah, we here at Rolla, we have about 7,500 registered users here at Rolla, and a community that's of about 20,000 in a county, Phelps County, that is about 40,000. And we have a lot of non-resident people as well as people who live in the city.
And you have a college in your town, correct?
Yeah, we have the University of Missouri, Missouri S&T, big tech university here.
Okay. Does that bring a lot of people to your town then?
It does. And for a smallish town, a rural town, we're pretty cosmopolitan in some ways, because we have a lot of ethnic diversity, as well as we've got a big hospital here. So it brings in different folks for that. And the services, we have a big Compass Health. And of course, the university is a huge draw. In fact, later, I guess the end of September, in about a month from now, we have a big Celebration of Nations that happens right down on Pine Street where the library is. And we have a big parade with folks from all over the world, even camels, all sorts of things they bring out. It's really cool.
Really? That sounds like a neat parade.
Yeah, it really is.
I didn't realize that was going on. So pretty cool.
Yeah.
I just wanted to talk to you about how you connect your patrons to Wolfner, or how you promote Wolfner, or, you know, just your connection to Wolfner, I guess.
Absolutely. So we've got some signs and things around the library, flyers. You guys make some really nice marketing bookmarks and things. And we've got that a lot in the large print area. and all around the library. We get those little stickers that you all give us to put in our large print books so people are aware of your services. I know that we've had you guys come out a couple of times for like an open house meet and greet type thing. And I tend to do a lot of talking to people one-on-one when I hear that that's a need. And I know that, I think it was a few years ago that you all expanded to not just visual impairment, but to also physical disabilities. And so people who maybe have a hard time holding a book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the folks a lot of times that don't think about that they would be able to use your services.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those are some folks that I try to kind of talk into giving it a try. And I've got like one of the little digital players here in my office with some more information. I can show them, demonstrate it for them. And there are a couple of patrons that I have that I work really closely with that really, really rely on the audiobooks for the most part, but their life would be very, very dull without this service.
They're well, very that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Are you surprised at how many audiobooks Wolfner has? Have you ever?
Yes.
The
selection's amazing.
Yeah. And I think one thing that a lot of people, I didn't realize when I worked at a public library, I kind of thought when you signed up to be a Wolfner patron, you had to either, you know, choose Wolfner or choose your own public library. Mm-hmm. But people can belong to as many libraries as they want to. Yes. We're not.
Yes. That's what our folks are a member at our library and a member at Wolfner. And they love the Bard online catalog. There's so many great books on there. It's a great selection. And there's one gentleman that I just kind of introduced recently to it. And so he's just now discovering he's on maybe like his eighth book or something. And he's saying, yeah, you know what? I couldn't sleep last night. He's got a lot of movement issues. And he said, I couldn't sleep last night. And I going ahead and put the audio on the digital player and I'm getting used to it. And he's really liking it a lot.
Well, good, good. That's what we like to hear. And we like to, you know, sometimes people think, oh, I don't think this would work for me. I don't like people reading me books.
Yes, but that's what he thought. Yeah.
But once you give it a try, a lot of people realize that they do like it and it helps pass the time and,
yes,
and keep
absolutely.
Keep them occupied.
Yeah. And I've been helping him find some of the ones for the younger readers, even that he's read before, you know, like Percy Jackson and some of those are very fun because a lot of times they have really fun narrators and sometimes even sound effects and all sorts of fun things.
Yeah. They're starting to narrate graphic novels and put those on Bard. And I think that would be just really hard to, how would you narrate a comic book or a graphic
book? That would be
book?
Challenging. Yeah. I'd like to hear it and compare just to kind of see how they do.
Yeah. So, well, that's great. Well, and so before you came to Rolla, where were you in the world before you moved to Rolla?
So I was a high school librarian in St. Louis County for a long time. And then I decided I kind of wanted to move away from the school system and I wanted to kind of come rural because I wanted a little bit of land and be able to afford that. And so that's what brought me to Rolla. I have family that lives in Salem, which is pretty close to Rolla. So I've been coming through here my whole life. And it's amazing to me how much helping and teaching young people like teenagers, a lot of the same skills that I used there, I use now. And that was kind of surprising to me when I first started because young people used to get so excited about the new release or this or that. And coming to the library now, I have elderly folks that come in and they're just as excited about the books they have on the hold shelf. And so people are just people. And it's really cool to be able to connect with them and find them things that enrich their lives.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's wonderful. You have a very nice staff too. How many people work at the Rolla Library?
Including me, 13.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have three other full-time folks. So we're kind of slowly building that. We have a really fantastic staff here. They've bend over backwards for folks. And we help all different types of folks. As I know you have a background in public libraries, so you understand. You just never know who's going to come through the door and what they're going to need. and kind of makes the job really interesting. You learn something new every day.
Yes, and you never quite know which direction your day is going to go in.
Very true.
I remember one day we had a raccoon out in the middle of our front yard at the library.
Oh, and wow. Yes.
It was quite chaotic. But
Oh, yeah. There's stories every day. And you never know what you're going to find in the book drop box.
Right.
Yes. Right. But it's great. It's a great job to have. And I think it's excellent because of the staff that I have working with me here. They're an amazing support system for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And good coworkers are.
Yes,
are
absolutely.
Really the best part of any job, I think. So. Mm-hmm.
And we have so many patrons that are almost like, we call it a library family in a way, because they come in and they'll check on us. You know, we're friends with so many people in the community, and that makes a huge difference to your day.
Right.
Yes, it really does. Yeah. Most libraries are like that, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why I think when librarians go on vacation, we usually end up checking out the library
wherever we're at. You're very right.
So, well, thank you, Rebecca, for taking time out of your busy day to talk to us a little bit about Wolfner.
Sure. And, well, it's so cool that you have a podcast, too. I love it.
We got to keep recording these. So
Yeah. Well, I just want to say hello to everyone that's listening, and you're using a great service through Wolfner, and Jamie's awesome.
Oh, I didn't make you say that, but thank you. No, I you appreciate didn't,
but I did anyway.
New from the Wolfner Recording Studio. Respectable Roughnecks by Brendan Steenburgen, DBC 29261. The 1960 Missouri Tigers football team entered the season with low expectations. But over the course of their incredible season, they set or broke nearly every record in school history en route to a controversial national championship run. I Shot Paw for Ma by John French, DBC 29292. A true crime ride of destiny, romance, adultery, betrayal, and redemption in the Gasconade region of the Missouri Ozarks. The In-Between by Katie Van Heidick, DBC 29253. 13-year-old Katie has moved more times than she can count, for as long as she can remember. When Katie and her family come back from an out-of-town funeral, they discover their landlord has unceremoniously evicted them. They make their way to a motel, with Katie's mother promising it's temporary. Within the four walls of their new home, Katie and her siblings try to live a normal life, all while wondering if things would be easier living with their father. Ellie in Bloom by Colleen Oakes, DBC 29168. Ellie Jordan has carved out a sweet life for herself as the owner of a boutique florist in St. Louis. Just when she feels that she is finally moving on from her past, she discovers that an extravagant wedding contract is more than she bargained for. Ellie bravely agrees to take on the event and finds herself blooming in a direction she never imagined. These books, and all other titles recorded at the Wolfner Recording Studio, are available for download on Bard or by contacting your reader advisor. As a patron of Wolfner, it's pretty safe to assume that you've listened to audiobooks. But have you ever wondered just how an audiobook is created here at our library? Our first stop is with volunteer and recording studio manager, Brandon Lammers.
The books that we produce have a connection to Missouri. whether it be through subject matter, setting, about someone from Missouri, or by a Missouri author. We also record the Missouri Association of School Librarians Award nominees each year. These are the ones that are not commercially produced. We produce the other ones that are not commercially done to fill the gaps. So we do this so that our patrons who are in school can read and vote for their favorites along with their classmates during the school year. So books are selected a few different ways, through requests by patrons and suggestions by staff. Authors have also asked us to record their books so that our patrons have access to them. We will search for books at the local bookstore as well, and also online for new authors and books to fill grade levels, subject matter, and series, etc. We then make sure that the titles are not in production by the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, Library of Congress, and or another network library by searching the online NLS catalog. We then order two copies of each title and submit what is called an intention notice to let NLS and the network libraries know that we are producing that book. Once the physical books are received, opening and closing announcements that include the title and author, book number, narrator, monitor, and reviewer's names, and the publisher and copyright information, annotation, accessible format disclaimer, and any other information that is needed are created. The file for the recording is created along with the catalog record in our system as well. We then select a narrator. Narrator selection is generally based on male and female narrators, but we try to find the best voice for each title. We have extremely talented individuals who volunteer for us, and many have theatrical backgrounds. We have a few kids who narrate most of our children's books, but we also use other narrators based on the perspective of the book is written. We also use multiple narrators in some books. We have one narrator who has a wonderful voice for Western, so we try to use him for those as much as possible. And then there's some books that need a more character representation than others, and we will have a volunteer who's more comfortable narrating multiple characters do those. All of our volunteers are wonderful, and each has their own unique skill sets and bring these books to life.
Okay, so the book's been selected. It's ordered, prepared, and arrived. A volunteer narrator has selected the book, and we're ready to begin recording.
For my reading process, I begin the night before, and I read out loud to myself as much as I think we're going to cover for the next day. And so that way I can look up any words that I might think are mispronounced. I can maybe locate some mistakes in the book itself. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes there's the wrong date. Sometimes the sentence doesn't make complete sense. So we try and forestall that. And we go in the booth, put on the headphones, I adjust the microphone, and then we start reading. And my partner and I, Darlene, try really hard to catch any mistakes that we possibly can, so it's an easier job for the reviewer. And we try and catch if I don't maybe read a sentence maybe with the right intonation that I think is good. Sometimes even if I pre-read the night before, there's a difference when I'm flowing into the microphone. So it's a process, and it requires homework, at least for me, and it also requires constant watching by the monitor and myself to hopefully catch as many mistakes as we can so there's less to correct when it comes back to us.
While our volunteer narrator is reading the book, another volunteer monitors the recording.
Okay, so I'm a monitor, and I have a reader. I read along with the same book that she does. My reader's in the booth, and I'm outside the booth with a computer monitor. I have headphones on that connects me to my reader. I read along as she does, watching every word very carefully to make sure that she pronounces everything correctly and says every word as it is written in the book. I also watch the computer monitor to make sure that her voice is coming across on the recording correctly, loud enough, And I also listen for extra sounds that maybe shouldn't be in there. Anytime my reader makes a mistake, I stop her and we go back on the recording and find the error, and then we reread the sentence and make sure it is correct, and then carry on with the reading of the book, all the while listening carefully and watching the monitor.
So the recording process has begun. After each recording session, the book is then given to another of our volunteers for reviewing to ensure that we're putting out quality recordings. Let's talk to one of our volunteers about the reviewing process.
The reviewing process is meant to ensure the integrity of the reading matches what's in the written word, because so many of our patrons really can't benefit from the written word. We want to make sure that our reading is accurate in transmitting the style as well as the content of the books or magazines or whatever we're reading. And the people who monitor the narrators in the booth, they try to catch mistakes too. But it's just not possible to do all that. So we have a reviewer listen to the narration and as they're reading the book to make sure everything matches. There's just something very difficult about people reading and not making mistakes. The reviewer catches these, marks them down so that the monitor can then take the narrator through the book the next session and correct the mistakes. Then it goes back to the reviewer again to make sure that the mistakes were redone correctly.
The audiobook has been reviewed, and the narrator and monitor make any corrections that need to be made. The book is then given to yet another volunteer who reviews the audiobook again to make sure that nothing has slipped through the cracks. So, the entire book has been recorded and reviewed twice. It's ready to make its way out into the world. But there are still a few steps that need to take place before this can happen. Tim Emmel, Tech 3 here at the Wolfner Recording Studio, will tell you about the next steps in the process.
Okay, so after a book is completed by the narrator, what we do with the tech side is we go and add nav points, which is any time you hit fast forward or rewind, it'll take you to your chapters, to all your opening announcements and things like that. We also then submit a paper copy called a bib record to the Library of Congress to get all the information that is in the book so that it's easier for people to find when they search. So then we upload a protected file of the recorded book to NLS, and they then put it on BARD, which is the Braille and audio reading download offered by the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled from the Library of Congress. And then once it's approved by NLS, it gets uploaded and everybody can search for it, download it, and enjoy it.
The audiobook has now been uploaded and awaits approval by the National Library Service for distribution on BARD. Once approved, it becomes available for download and distribution. So, the audiobook is available, but how do you know that this new book is complete and ready to be listened to? That's where our wonderful reader advisors come in. They assist in helping our patrons find books that are suited to their interests, including those recorded here at Wolfner. But let's let them tell you about it.
We can tell if the book is available or not, and so then we're able to place the order on that business day, and then it will leave our library the following business day to go out to the patron.
So, I mean, if they don't know the name or the author of the book, we can look up the description based on that. And then from there, we can track down the book, or if they have at least the author or at least the title or a variation of one of those two things, that helps narrow it down. And then we just get it added to their list and get it sent right out.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they just call us back if they don't get the book for some reason, or like John said, if they don't have the exact title, author, just tell us about the book. We can hopefully find it.
The new audiobook has been assigned to our patron. But how does it get from our system to your mailbox? That's where our circulation department comes in. So, a computer is attached to a Gutenberg duplicator, whose cartridge ports wait for the book orders to be placed into a database called CLAWS, either by the reader advisors or by the preferences that a patron has set up with their reader advisor. When those orders are placed, CLAWS and Gutenberg communicate with each other to fill those orders. CLAWS automatically runs a nightly cycle that duplicates book orders onto cartridges, and once the orders are created, Gutenberg informs the staff that there are orders ready to go out. On the back of each cartridge is a barcode, which, when scanned, produces our mailing label for the patron, including their name, address, and material on the cartridge. We put the cartridge into a container and put the mailing label on the outside of that container, and it's now ready to be placed into the mail. When a patron returns that cartridge, the barcode is scanned once again, which alerts CLAWS that the material on that book has already been sent out and helps prevent duplicate orders of the same book from going out by mistake. The cartridges are then deleted and ready for the next round of books to send out to other patrons. And shortly afterwards, that new audiobook is on a cartridge in your mailbox, ready to be listened to and enjoyed. Thank you for listening to the Wolfner Talking Book and Braille Library Podcast. For further inquiries on this episode, or for library service needs, you may contact us toll-free in-state at 1-800-392-2614. Out-of-state callers may reach us at 573-751-8720. By email at wolfner@sos.mo.gov, or visit us online at www.sos.mo.gov/Wolfner.